just want the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look. Having read, hello, and thank you for turning on to MutinyRadio.fm and Women's Magazine in particular. My name is Global Val, and I'm here today on Friday, January 23rd, and talking about the news, and news that is hard to turn away from, but news that often gets turned away from. So I want to highlight a particular peace activist today named Kathy Kelly, who has just been sentenced to federal prison for her anti-drone activism. And Kathy Kelly is a coordinator for Voices for Creative Nonviolence, which is a campaign to end U.S. military and economic warfare. And she's going to just about to begin a 3-month jail sentence in federal prison for a protest against drones, which are referred to as unmanned aerial vehicles. She had been protesting at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. And she recently was interviewed by Madea Benjamin, who's the co-founder of Code Pink and the Global Exchange. And Madea Benjamin wrote a book called Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, which is definitely a hard read, but an important one, where she investigates and looks at the use of militarized, weaponized drones that have been used by the American government and operated predominantly by the CIA in various countries over the past several years. And it's an important read, Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control by Madea Benjamin. I actually got to interview Madea Benjamin for Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1. The episode aired in January of 2012. If you want to go to my blog, it's globalval.blogspot.com, and there's a list of all the shows I've done for KPFA, so you can find that show where I interviewed women from Code Pink, including Madea Benjamin, who had gone on a protest trip to Pakistan to protest the American use of drone warfare in the border regions between Pakistan and Afghanistan, essentially, murdering and terrorizing the people there because of their tribal affiliations with the Taliban and other, quote, high target enemies of the United States in the war on terror. So, and in that episode, I interviewed a couple of Code Pink members, Dr. Diane Budd and Toby Blomé, who had been protesting at various Air Force bases around California, specifically in Nevada, going out to try to raise awareness of the fact that we're using these drones in remote areas and targeting a lot of, having a lot of innocent people fall victim to whatever the targets may be named. So this recent case of Kathy Kelly from Voices for Creative Nonviolence, she, as I said, is about to start a federal prison sentence for her protest against drone warfare. And Madea Benjamin interviewed her. And so I want to read an article from commondreams.org. So this is an article, just a transcript of the conversation that Madea Benjamin had with Kathy Kelly. Madea asks, Can you just say why you've been particularly moved to take action against drone strikes? Kathy responds, I think 21st century militarism is very frightening when you combine the military's joint special operations forces with drone and airstrike capabilities. The military doesn't need sprawling bases anymore because they can use these new technologies to control populations and instill tremendous fear. But the use of drones creates resentment and antagonism and continues to kill civilians. Wars have been killing civilians for a long time, but with the help of drones, 90% of the people killed in wars these days are civilians. The British organization Reprieve reports that for every one person who is selected as a target for assassination by drones, 28 civilians are killed. The weaponized drones are operated here in the United States in Air National Guard bases and Air Force bases. And with the press of a button, they're killing people thousands of miles away in places like Afghanistan. Many people are enamored with being able to send an unmanned aerial vehicle to kill people in another country without a soldier in this country being harmed. But we find that the people operating these drones are experiencing trauma and stress just like soldiers in war zones. I'm also very worried about drone proliferation, with other countries acquiring these weapon systems. In 1945, only one country possessed a nuclear weapon, and look at the world now. I think the same thing is going to happen with drone proliferation. I also think that with the activist focus on drones, we can have tangible successes. We have a good possibility of persuading the public that this is a wrongful way to move ahead. It violates international law and makes other people near the bases here in the United States vulnerable as targets themselves. We've already seen considerable progress on this issue. The bases that were getting the drone systems, like the Air National Guard base in Battle Creek, Michigan, used to be so proud that they were popping champagne. Now the commanders at the Battle Creek base, where the guard is being trained to operate weaponized drones, are reluctant to talk about the drone program. Medea Benjamin then asks, can you tell us about the Whiteman Air Force Base and what you did that resulted in this 3-month sentence? Kathy Kelly responds, a squadron at Whiteman, which is in Knob Noster, Missouri, operates weaponized drones over Afghanistan, which has been an epicenter of drone warfare. Whiteman Air Force Base won't disclose information about the results of these drone strikes, but we, as American citizens, should have the right to know what is being done in our name. I've spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, living with young people who have been victimized by our drones, young people who fled to Kabul and are too frightened to go back home to visit their own relatives, young people who see a future filled with prolonged and agonizing warfare. We wanted to bring their grievances to the commander at Whiteman Base. So I crossed the line onto the base. A symbolic action for people in Afghanistan is breaking bread together. So I carried a loaf of bread and a letter to the commander asking how many people were killed by Whiteman Air Force Base on that day. I took one or two steps over the line, then I was arrested. When I went to trial, the military prosecutor told the judge, quote, Your Honor, Ms. Kelly is in grave need of rehabilitation, end quote. But I think it's our policy that's in grave need of rehabilitation. We've already spent $1 trillion on warfare in Afghanistan, and we'll be spending another $120 billion. The Pentagon wants $57 billion for this year alone. We're squandering resources that are sorely needed at home and abroad to solve extremely serious problems our world is facing, problems like climate crisis and global poverty. Medea Benjamin says, when you cross the line into Whiteman Base, did you know that you would be facing such a long sentence? Crossing the line at some bases and even CIA headquarters has resulted in a small fine. Kathy Kelly responds, my colleague Brian Terrell had previously crossed onto Whiteman Air Force Base and received a 6-month sentence. I faced the same judge, so I was pretty sure that I would get 6 months as well. When he only gave me 3 months, I was actually surprised. I certainly don't think I did anything criminal. I'm proud of what I did, but I expected the penalty would be higher and wondered if the judge wanted to look good for a change. Medea Benjamin asks, so I take it that means you would do it again? Kathy responds, oh, surely yes. I think it's important to take these issues directly to the place where the grievance is occurring, and that's certainly these military bases. I also think it's important to take these issues to all three branches of government. I love it when Code Pink goes into the halls of Congress or challenges President Obama, because it's crucial to pressure the executive and legislative branches. But we have to target the judicial branch as well. We have to try every lever and keep on insisting that the Constitution protect our right to express our grievances. Medea Benjamin continues, in early January, you fasted and protested with Witness Against Torture to call for the closing of Guantanamo Prison, including a protest at the home of former Vice President Dick Cheney. How do you feel knowing that the people making these policies aren't held accountable, but you're heading off to jail? Kathy Kelly responds, I don't actually want to see anyone in prison because I don't believe in the prison system. I don't want to see people locked up. I believe in rehabilitation. How do you rehabilitate people who have been so murderous and greedy in their war profiteering and cronyism and so willing to sacrifice huge numbers of lives? It's very hard to know. I'd like to continue in a Quakerly fashion to see decency and goodness and potential in people like Cheney, Rice, and Bush. It may be that somehow the examples they set will serve to persuade future leaders not to be that way. So who knows what will come of what they've created? Medea Benjamin asks, it's interesting that you're against prisons, yet you voluntarily put yourself in a position where you know you'll be in prison for a significant time. How many times have you been to prison for protesting war? Kathy responds, this will be my fourth time in a federal prison, and I've been jailed in various county jails and other kinds of lockups more times than I can count. Medea asks, why do you continue to go to jail when there are so many other ways to protest? Kathy responds, I think it's important for peace activists to go inside the prisons and have a vivid sense of how hurtful and punitive this system is. I can read about the realities that prisoners face and the really horrific sentencing procedures, but if I'm not sitting in the bunk next to the person pouring out their story, it doesn't grab my heart and mind in the same way. I've been to prison many times before, and I know that when I walk out of a prison, I feel like shouting from the rooftops, do you see what's going on inside these gates? Medea, what can people do to support you while you're in prison, and what about writing to you or sending books? Kathy responds, I love novels, especially novels written by people from other countries. People can contact Voices for Creative Nonviolence in Chicago to find out where to send books and letters. And people can help Voices for Creative Nonviolence. We're organizing a walk related to the environment and militarism. We're sending volunteers to Jeju Island in South Korea to join the movement against militarizing the island. We're working with the youth and the Afghan peace volunteers in Kabul. A good way to show support would be to join the Afghan peace volunteers in their duvet project, a project to make warm blankets for people in need. One winter in Kabul, 26 people froze to death in just 1 month, 8 of them children. It was impossible to read those statistics and not think of something to do. So we helped start the duvet project. The Afghan peace volunteers invite women from the different tribal ethnicities, 60 in all, to pick up materials like wool, coverlets, and thread. They go home and sew these very heavy blankets that can make the difference between life and death. Then the youth distribute the duvets to people in the greatest need. So I admire the young people because they act like social workers, going out to find who are the neediest in their area. And very generous people in the US and the UK have donated the money. Each duvet costs about $17, and it's now about a $40,000 project that distributes thousands of blankets each year. So people could help out by contributing to this project, the Afghan Peace Volunteers. And that is the interview that Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink and the Global Exchange, conducted with anti-drone activist Kathy Kelly, who is heading off to a 3-month federal prison sentence for crossing the line, holding a loaf of bread at the Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, because it is from that very base and many others around the country that, in the name of the United States government, sending out militarized drones to kill in remote parts of the world. And that's some of the news, people. Thanks for listening to Women's Magazine. I'm Global Val. About a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was on the house of law. I saw a film today, oh boy. The English army had just
just won the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look. Having read
For those of you who listen to Women's Magazine or who listen to the Common Thread Collective here at Mutiny Radio, I'm Global Val, and I am a poet. And so I wrote a poem the other day on a theme that has been mulling around in my mind. And I actually wrote it in advance of going to a great jazz poetry open mic called The Word Party, and which happens here every second Tuesday at Viracocha in San Francisco, 21st in Valencia, live jazz. Put your name on the list. You get up there, read your poem, and the jazz band plays with you. Is very cool and a lot of fun. And I've been mulling around this idea or this theme that came to me right around the new year. And I knew it was a good theme because when I said it, I got goosebumps, all right? And the theme is Renaissance. So I put this poem together the other night, and I hope you enjoy it. It is time for a renaissance. It's always darkest just before the dawn, and I think we've seen how deep and dark mankind has gone. So the only conclusion that must be drawn is, it is time for a renaissance. Humanism reared its creative head after centuries of illness and dread, and what we got was beauty in its stead. It is time for a renaissance. Humanism didn't die. It's just been obfuscated by the power lines, authority that draws its own conclusions for the rest, but in its delusions that do not benefit all of us. It is time for a renaissance. When the great muses of the architects and artists set out to rebuild the world in beauty, we gained a cultured awe in the dome of Brunelleschi. And if you've ever seen the skies over Firenze, it's plain why Michelangelo felt so close to heaven. It is time for a renaissance. We artists and thinkers of the heart may not have the patrons of the Medicis, but we don't need the means of money to bridge the gaps of what we see. It is time for a renaissance. When the short-sighted ideas don't go according to plan, and we refuse to eat any more poisoned propaganda, this is a renaissance. When we can see Pandora's box coughing its last breath, we'll be here to clean up after the mess. For the current plane of existence isn't lacking genius. Rather, it is awaiting a blossoming of our progress. Can you feel it? It is time for our renaissance. I'm Global Val Ibera. You can check out my blog, globalval.blogspot.com. Here at Mutiny Radio every Friday from 2 to 3 for Women's Magazine and 3 to 6 for the Common Thread Collective. Thank you for listening. And remember, just when your aspirations seem outrageous, that inspiration is contagious. Peace, and thank you.
Face before, nobody was really sure if he was on the house or not.
to look. Having read the book, I'd love to turn you. Oh,